Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm happy that the Bills signed Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, good play.
Yes. Do I think he makes the Bills better? Yes.
Do I think?
But this thought that Curtis Samuel changes the Bills' draft plan or strategy or philosophy moving forward is just asinine to me.
This is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, presented by Connors and Ferris. Mike Catalano, along with Dan Fates. Jenna Cottrell getting a Veterans Day off to be with her grandfather, so good for her.
Some family time for Jenna,
yeah,
love it.
Good for her. So she's getting to do that while we get to talk. Please make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast, and make sure you listen. Right now in the off season, every Tuesday morning
yes.
is the plan for these to be dropped, including audio pods. So if you're out walking the dog, running around, cutting the grass soon, all those things, you can just listen to us pontificate while you're doing the work around the house. I think that's always a good thing to do, right?
Yeah, I'm just checking. Last night,
right,
I texted you at 12:22 a.m.
and said,
I can't wait to podcast tomorrow.
Okay, I said, you're going to watch the Kentucky Derby in May, and you see them getting the horses ready. And there's always that horse. They can't get it in to be ready for the start of the race. And they're like, come on, come on, because that horse cannot wait to go. Secretariat over here, ready to go. Ready to go with, but
hot,
not hot takes.
Not hot takes. It's a hot take about other people's hot takes.
Okay. Are we going to start there, or do you want to start with Taron?
Let's start with Taron.
All right.
That was the news of the day.
Good news of the day. It came out on Monday. Taron Johnson, contract extension with the Bills. I love it for him. I think we saw this coming at some point.
Yeah.
Made sense with his contract now, what he's done for the organization and where he is going forward. He's with the team, at least by the contract, through 2027.
Yeah, he's been a guy I think that we've talked to over the years that he's not the most talented player, but you have always been able to make the case that he's maybe the most important player on the Bills defense. Look, he is a massive reason of why the Bills are able to play the defensive system that they are able to play. But like, it's strictly because of Taron, his ability to coverage, his ability to help in the run game, his ability to do all of those things allows the Bills to play a nickel defense as pretty much their base defense. It's what they're in 75% of the time. So you can argue that other players may be more talented, but it'd be tough to argue there's not somebody as valuable as Taron Johnson on the Bills defense.
He's made for the slot position. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's been able to keep himself healthy, which was an issue.
Yeah.
Earlier in his career, he makes tackles. He can cover tight ends. He can, you know, look, you know, somebody's going to comment and say, how come he can't stop Kelsey? It's what I always laugh about. Yeah, just stop Kelsey.
Just cover him.
Just stop him.
Just cover him. Just blitz Mahomes.
But in times, you know, they won a game in Kansas City, regular season. It was his interception that sealed the game for them late.
Yep.
And look.
The Baltimore interception in the playoffs.
Playoff game. Oh,
101-yard interception.
One of the big moments in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
That was a huge playoff win for him. Got him to the AFC Championship game back then in the 2020 season.
Yeah.
Into that part. And then the other part about with Taron is, and I've talked about this a little leading up to it, is, you know, Jordan Poyer's gone. We don't believe Micah Hyde's coming back.
Right.
I mean, the thought still is that Micah's going to retire. And you talk about him as a leader, and I always have thought he's been a leader, but he talked about what his role is expected to be a little bit different for him coming into the season with those two guys not being around.
It's a new opportunity for me. I have to be more vocal this year, and I'm expecting to do that a lot. So whatever that role leads for me, then that's what I'm going to do. whatever it takes, and want to get going. You know what I'm saying? Help the guys that are going to be new coming in and help us win.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think he's always been one of those guys, and I'm not saying he's overly vocal. I don't even know, you know, it's interesting with the way Poyer and Hyde handle things. Poyer's a little more fiery. Hyde's a little more maybe analytical in the way they would deal with it. But I think it's in there in Taren to be a little more of that. I think he deferred to those guys. I don't know if he would agree with that, but I think at least vocally he did. But they always included him as, well, really with Trey White as the four guys, but those three and more towards the back end.
And I think it's always telling too, like, he's a Weber State guy. Like, they drafted him. He's the guy that had the combine moment where you're going down the gauntlet, you're looking one way, Taren, you can find the gif, he gets hit with the football, not looking the other way. And then he is, like I said, found a niche. He's played so hard at times, that was part of, like, the knock, is that, like, he can't stay on the field. Like, his body just wasn't able to. He had shoulder, collarbone, forearm, all of those things that kind of battled him. And that was kind of the one thing, was like, when Taren's on the field, he's really good. It's just a matter of, can he stay on the field? And so I think that's part of that leadership role. It's also, like you said, Mike, knowing his place. But that was the one thing that I was concerned about. When you make these moves to Tremaine Edmonds gone, Micah Hyde gone, Jordan Poyer gone, like you're making this conscious effort. Because Matt Milano, while I said I thought he'd be more of a vocal leader that would step up, you were saying on one of our other podcasts that, like, it's Taren's job too, is also, there's no more Trey White. Like the secondary is now going to really lean on this kid. This guy to be that voice in that secondary. And it helps because he's always on the field.
Yeah.
In every single formation, Taren has found a way to be in goal line, to be in base, to be in dime, all of those things. Taren's on the field, and that's just massive.
Yeah. I think he and Terrell Bernard are going to be the two leaders of the defense. And I think Bernard was great. I'm just very excited to see Bernard and Milano back together. Yeah. I think it's going to be great for them. But Taren Johnson has been, I say, sometimes it's almost like a little bit forgotten, because we talked a lot about the safeties, and we talked about, you know, injuries, and we talked about the corners and Trey and all the changes and Kair Elam and all that stuff. And there's Taren just lining up,
lining up.
And every team around the league knows him. Highest paid nickel corner to this point. So good for him.
It was perfect. He waited till Kenny Moore got his deal with the Colts and then said, Brandon, I would like more than that. And they were able to come to a deal. So works out well. That was another one heading into the offseason. Deion's extension, Taren's extension, kicking the can down the road for that salary cap that people keep telling us is real.
I believe I read cap hell they were in.
Yes.
And would have no money.
Yes.
And there was actually people, semi-reporters, you know, national, some of these national guys, before they did the Josh Allen one, which was more of a formality, they were like, Buffalo still is not cap compliant. I'm like, settle down. Like, they became cap compliant, and then they made these other deals.
Yeah.
And then they went out and signed a guy. Yeah. Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Brought him in. Our friends over at SpotTrack gave the numbers for him. 3 years, $24 million. $13 million guaranteed to sign. $1.9 million for next February be the guarantee. So basically they refer to it. I love the way they refer to this. 2 years, $16 million practical. Basically, it's a two-year deal for $16
million. Yeah, and I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things where I was excited to do this podcast, because they signed him 15 minutes after we finished our podcast last week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bean.
Yeah, so we just got done, and that was why I came on and just gave the quick public service
announcement before
you go into it. I like this move.
Well, wait a minute. This move, I was reading some guys saying this move means they don't need wide receivers anymore. Isn't that?
Yeah. Yeah, like, they're solved.
They're done.
Everything's all set.
Curtis Samuel, done.
Yeah. We've seen both ends of the spectrum. This was one of the things I was excited about, Mike, to talk about, was just the fact of, when I don't know something, I'm not going to really talk about it, or I'm not going to go in depth on it. But when it came to Curtis Samuel, I was like, hey, by the way, we had the weekend to think it over. We had the weekend to find the numbers now and do this podcast. And, like, I liked Curtis Samuel because of his connection with Joe Brady. You also find out that Brandon Bean was also the one that drafted him when he was with Carolina, 40th overall, early second round. And you started to get to see more about this. And so many people were caught up on this. Half the people seemed like it thought it was a terrible move. like the Nick Wrights and the Chiefs fans saying, we got Hollywood Brown, they got Curtis Samuel, we get the better guy. Everybody that comes and plays with Mahomes automatically turns into an all-pro, and that's just not the case, because you can ask MVS and you can ask Kadarius Toney, guys, like, it's just not that easy.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. The Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. They win Super Bowls because they have a great defense, but most importantly, because they have Patrick Mahomes, who made ordinary guys look okay in spots, and they still found ways to win.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they brought in nobodies and they crushed it. He's won with nobodies and Travis Kelce.
Correct.
He's made Rashee Rice, who could be a very good player.
Yeah.
He's looked good. The other guys stunk most of the year.
So
and made a few catches.
Yeah, this thought that like you all of a sudden get in the huddle with Patrick Mahomes and turn into an all-pro, just it isn't accurate.
And he still won.
Yeah.
Right. And, we know that. Yes.
And for everybody that says, well, you know, who has Josh Allen turned into anything? Well, I would argue Cole Beasley turned into an all-pro.
Yeah.
Like Cole Beasley was fine with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then Josh took him and Cole took Josh to new levels.
Yeah.
So it can happen. My point is that one end of the spectrum is saying that Curtis Samuel is nothing. He doesn't affect anything. And the other side of the spectrum is that Curtis Samuel solves all of the Bills' issues and the wide receiver room is now fixed.
I don't know which take is dumber.
Yeah, that's where I'm trying
to draw the line. Well, I would say the dumber take is that they're done with wide receiver.
Correct.
Because you don't know exactly how Curtis Samuel is going to do.
Yeah.
But if he's what they hope he is, they still need a future number one guy.
Yeah.
Which is what they'll be drafting for.
Yeah.
And another one. I think they're going to be drafting two wide receivers.
Yeah. Like, again, I love hot takes. I've had several of them on this channel. But not every signing has to be a hot take. Like, some signings are just, yeah, that makes sense. I like the sign. Like, I like that. I liked Curtis Samuel heading into this offseason because I thought of the connection. His best season was with Joe Brady. You're going to get full Joe Brady this offseason with his system and all of these things. They needed to add a wide receiver because they really only had Diggs and Khalil Shakir and Justin Shorter. We also have Justin Shorter.
Justin Shorter.
Yes. But this thought that Curtis Samuel changes the Bills' draft plan or strategy or philosophy moving forward is just asinine to me. The hot take is, do I like Curtis Samuel? Yeah. I'm happy he's with the Bills, because I'd rather have him with the Bills than not with the Bills. But do I think that he's a long-term solution to where the Bills need a wide receiver? No. And my thought hasn't changed at all that the Bills should and will draft a wide receiver in the first round to improve their offense, which is what they really need.
He's taken snaps and targets away from where Gabe Davis was. He doesn't play like Gabe
Correct.
Davis. It's a different kind of player. But Gabe got a lot of snaps and got a lot of targets. Curtis Samuel will get a percentage of those things.
Yeah.
The flaw with the Bills was thinking Gabe Davis was more than he is. I think they know what Curtis Samuel is. As a player, I will compare him, the way he lines up, and what he can do for a team to Deebo Samuel. Now, before you go type in your comment and tell me, I know he's not Deebo Samuel. He's not as strong of a runner, but he can line up in the backfield. He runs shorter routes. He's got speed. They could use him in a similar way, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the way he plays. Okay. He's not Hollywood Brown. He's a different kind of player than he is. I think the type of player, the way you would line him up, if Kyle Shanahan had him, that's the way he would use him. Okay. In a similar way.
Yeah.
He's not Deebo. They got Samuel name, but he's not Deebo.
When we've talked to Bean at the Combine before, he has talked about drafting before it's a need.
Yeah.
And now this is a rare circumstance where the Bills need a fill, like we've said, an immediate need at wide receiver, while also needing to, like we've said, finding a number one wide receiver before Stephon Diggs, whatever his future is. We'll get to him in a second. He's going to be in Buffalo, so don't freak out. But that's the sense. And Bean understands you don't find number one wide receivers in free agency. It just doesn't happen. It hasn't happened for two decades. Like, you go back and, like, the last few guys that were good wide receivers that hit the free agent market, I wrote these down. Christian Kirk hasn't really worked out.
Yeah, he's a good player. Okay. He's not a number one.
Allen Robinson and a 30-something year old DeAndre Hopkins.
No, most of the time when these guys are free, it's they've had injuries or they haven't put up the huge numbers. To get number ones, you draft them or you trade for them.
I went and I found the 45 top guys in receiving yards last year.
When Dan has an idea, dog with a bone, he's going to find the numbers. Look, he takes notes.
Yeah, and for all of Mike's notes that people didn't like, I wrote a lot of them here.
I hid my notes this time. Don't need them. But it's all
just
up here.
It's just the fact of, I went through like the top 45 guys. Four of them last year were free agent signings. All the other guys were traded for or drafted for. Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, AJ Brown, DJ Moore. The list goes on. Like, think of a wide receiver. The team either drafted him or they traded for him.
Yeah.
Number one wide receivers don't hit the market. T. Higgins is the latest example.
And he's number two on that roster, and they still tagged him.
Yeah. So the other thing, too, I've seen with obviously the loss of Gabe Davis of, okay, he replaces him. Yes, because he's another wide receiver. That's the only thing.
Snaps and targets. That's what it is.
But their fit is completely different. Curtis Samuel is really fast. You can look at his 40 time. I think he ran somewhere in the 4.3s, okay? But he's not a downfield guy. Don't associate speed with a downfield threat. This is a guy that stretches the field horizontally. He doesn't stretch it vertically. And so if you're sitting there and your hot take is, oh, this is a guy now they got some burner to go deep. That's not it.
But speed works in more than one way. And they have not had the run after catch speed that they've needed. You know, honestly,
that's what he is.
I hate to say it, like at a cheaper version, they were hoping from a little bit of this from Deonte Hardy. They got none of it.
Correct.
I mean, just we're talking about, and they did try to throw to him deep and that never worked out.
Correct.
Well.
And that was what we're joking around about. Curtis Samuel falls somewhere between Deebo Samuel and Isaiah McKenzie. He falls somewhere in between there. He's got some gadget to him. He will line up in the backfield. He arrived at Ohio State as a running back.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy that is not going to be this go route wide receiver. He is a close to the yard, like his
depth of target
is not very, it's very shallow. He's one of the bottom three in the league.
Yeah.
So understanding what you're getting. And to know what the Bills are missing is a deep threat that defenses need to respect. And they haven't had it since John Brown. Gabe Davis didn't even provide that.
Yeah. Like, in moments, he had moments.
Not consistent.
Right.
So they still need that. And they will still be looking to do that because you can take all of the wide receivers in this draft class, throw them in a bag, close your eyes, pull them out. That guy can take the top off of defense. That's who Brandon Bean is going to be looking for at 28 or 25 or 23 or 18. This does not solve the Bills' wide receiving room issues and what they miss in their offense. But he is a piece. And again, the Bills need speed. That is where the NFL game is going. Bean's always talking about it. This helps.
And look, you want it down the field. You want to be able to take the top off. But we have also seen the way defenses are playing, giving things underneath more, does make teams vulnerable to catch and run.
Yep.
And we've seen it with Kansas City in the past. We've seen it certainly with Miami. You know, you see it with San Francisco, where guys can take the ball and go.
Yep.
The Bills have not had that kind of speed. Samuel helps with that.
Helps. That is his strength.
Yes.
He is electric with the ball in his hands.
When I think about how you feel about a player that your team signs, I always think to myself,
what's the other team?
What if one of your rivals signed him? How would you feel about him? And if say the Jets signed Curtis Samuel, you might go, okay, he could help him. He's got Garrett Wilson on the other side. He's a pretty good player. Not the end of the world, but not Alan Lazard, right? Like, you know the guy can play, but he's not going to scare you to death. It's like Hollywood Brown does not scare me to death if I'm the Bills or any other team. I think he could help the Chiefs.
Yes.
But I don't think he all of a sudden becomes this consistent great player because he's with Mahomes. I think he helps him. I think Kansas City is also going to be drafting a wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's where it goes to this point where it's like, and the Chiefs have kind of been that scary team where anybody that goes there, they go, oh, great. He's going to be great with Mahomes. And that just hasn't been the case. It used to be that with New England, right? Some guy goes there that we've never really heard of, and we're like, well, Belichick knows something, and this guy's going to catch 1,000 yards.
But usually it's more on defense. I mean, when he got, you know, I mean, they did get a few players that helped them.
Yeah.
But it was more about the team thing, which is where Kansas City is now. But I'm telling you this, they're going to be like the Bills. They didn't, and they're looking at their wide receiver room by getting Hollywood Brown either.
Correct. Again, I'm happy that the Bills signed Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, good player.
He doesn't solve their problems, and he doesn't prevent them from drafting a wide receiver. He is not a deep threat guy. He doesn't replace Gabe Davis in this offense. He's another speed piece, which is a good thing. But if you think that all of a sudden that Curtis Samuel becomes a deep threat, you don't really know what you're talking about.
Whatever.
Because this is the thing, too. This is where it'll come into Joe Brady, who I'm very high on. I like the creativity that I hope we're going to see. But the fact is that you got Dalton Kincaid, Khalil Shakir, and now Curtis Samuel that all do their best work about 8 yards within the line of scrimmage. So you're going to have to try and find how they can do it. Now, again, other teams have found success in doing this, and there's a difference between being a slot wide receiver like Cole Beasley and a wide receiver that can work in the slot, which is Stephon Diggs, Khalil Shakir, and Curtis Samuel. They're going to have to find, there's only one ball, and there's only so many guys can be in the slot, but it'll be on him to, does Kincaid line in line more at the end of the line of scrimmage? Does he flex out more? Those are all the pieces that you're going to want to figure out.
It's where the game has changed too. Years ago, guys played their spot, stayed at the X, stayed in the slot, all that stuff. They move players around constantly. Maybe use motion on some players, get them moving. There's things they can do. By the way, I'm not going to sit here and pretend the Bills have so many weapons now. They're set. They are getting... I'm not going to guarantee you they're taking a wide receiver in the first round. I want you to be emotionally prepared for this. There is the possibility that they take a defensive player. It's out there. It's out there. I don't think that's happening. I think Bean is sitting there with 11 picks, just itching to move up. He's going to fall in love with two or three guys that he thinks can get to him, and he's going to go after them, and he's going to find somebody. He just needs to find the right team to trade with. Might take a little capital, but if you get the right guy, really the right guy, the hope is that that player plays for you his first year and eventually can become your number one player.
Yeah.
Because they don't think that way of Curtis. And Curtis Samuel's 27 years old. This contract's going to take him to 29, or at least the 2 years of it.
Yeah.
So
again, that was my big hot take where it's like, I don't really have a hot take on everybody else's hot take of Curtis Samuel does nothing or Curtis Samuel is the solution. Again, do I like Curtis Samuel on the Bills? Yes. Do I think he makes the Bills better? Yes. Do I think he's a long-term solution? No. And that's okay. Some signings are just good signings.
Emmanuel Sanders was a good signing. Couple of years.
Think Emmanuel Sanders with the type of adding to the offense, but not solving the offense.
Yes. Diggs. That's why I said whatever. What other tweets did he have? Y'all need to stay off my Twitter.
No, I wasn't stirring shit up. Y'all need to stay off my Twitter.
He's had some, you know, he's a little cryptic. Is he still in France? I don't know. I haven't looked at his Instagram in a while.
I thought he posted something about him training.
Yeah. Well, we know that's never an issue. It'll be training.
He also tweeted, well, ...
You know what that means?
Ready for whatever. Heart emoji. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
If you want to know our thoughts on Diggs, go back and watch any other video over the last year and a half, and it's the same thing. I love it. I think Diggs loves the attention. I could care less. Diggs isn't going anywhere. And so for when you see these, I don't want to say this meanly, second rate media accounts that want to say, where would be the next best team for Stephon Diggs to play next season? And where do you think he will be? It will be in Buffalo. Stop.
Yeah. Listen, we talk about the cap. Just a reminder. It's when you can dictate the terms of the cap. For example, the way he just signed Samuel, the way he did Taron Johnson's extension. The team expects that player to be there for 2 years or Taron Johnson through maybe 26, it says through 27, because the team is controlling that. Where you get into trouble with any player or takes away your flexibility is when the player and you are at odds about what they're doing. Trey White's injury.
Yeah, the future.
Von Miller's injury and his other, you know, they thought longer term with him. That's why Josh Allen's dead cap hit right now is $119 million.
Something like that, yep.
I think he's safe on the team for multiple reasons.
But post June 1st, I think it was only 60-something million. So you could still do it.
Hey, That's how badly Denver wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson. Yeah. What I'm saying is, from a football perspective, first and foremost, Stephon Diggs is still the best wide receiver on the roster,
yeah,
and they need him as number one. They find the right guy, they start thinking differently. A year from now, we could be having a different conversation. I guess everybody could be surprised. I would be beyond surprised if there was any movement.
I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
Stunned. Can we take, before we go, just a few, can we get a little snarky about the salary cap just one more time?
Have at it.
Because Mitch Morse was a salary cap casualty. They needed to save that $8 million to get under the cap. And then they just turned around and gave it right to Curtis Samuel.
Gave him, yeah. Yeah. And then they cut Jordan Poyer. And then they
gave that to Taylor Rapp.
And gave the extension.
Yeah. And then Daquan Jones. Johnson.
They gave him
so
money.
All that money that they saved.
Deion Dawkins cut himself.
Yeah.
And then came right back.
So all the money that they saved, they just pocketed. Oh, no, they just turned around and spent it on different players.
It's manipulating the cap, folks.
Yeah.
It's just, accounting. The
it's cap just more is fun accounting. To say, it's just more fun to say it's not real.
The cap is accounting.
Yeah.
And Bean's great at it. He's not the only one.
No, but he's really good at it.
Very good.
That's what gives the Bills part of their leg up in understanding this.
And we always say this. You want to see who does it well? The Bills do it well. Kansas City has done it well. The Eagles do it well. You want to see who does it terribly? The New Orleans Saints. They kicked it down the road with bad players and bad quarterbacks.
Still doing it.
And they're still a mess. They never figured it out. They keep doing it, and they don't have good players.
Good teams don't let players leave that they have because of the salary gap.
No.
They find ways to keep them. And I always use the example, a perfect example of this, and people will say, well, there's Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs could have paid Tyreek Hill. They could have done it 100%. They didn't want to deal with this sideshow that is Tyreek Hill off the field.
And Miami was offering them a lot for him.
So when everybody says, oh, it's not real, they couldn't pay everybody. They could have figured out a way to pay him. They didn't want to.
And it's an unfair argument to say they can't pay everybody. They don't want to pay everybody.
Yeah, that was something that got in the case that goes, well, Dan, why don't they just offer everybody if it's a blank check? There's a salary. Teams have their limits on what they think each player is worth. They're not just going to recklessly spending and salary cap are different things.
Yeah. I mean, some teams have been a little reckless. They're not that smart, but.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, they're smart. Feel fortunate, Bills fans. Yes. Feel fortunate, Bills fans. You got a smart GM and an owner who is willing to front the money. So it's that way it's working. So
yeah. So that was it. I just wanted, like I said, Curtis Samuel, we like him.
Yep.
I think he will bring a new dynamic, more than Hardy, an Isaiah McKenzie on steroids, will provide speed, which the Bills will always need on offense. It's another weapon, but it ain't solving no problems with the wide receiver term long term.
I was just picturing what Isaiah McKenzie on steroids would be like.
It'd be good.
Hey, he's with the Giants now.
Yeah, good for him.
Man, it's good for Isaiah.
Back with our boy.
Back with Dable. So that's going to be the case. All right. That's going to do it for us. And in case you missed at the beginning, Jenna with family, a little time off. Good for her. So we're here holding down the fort.
That's it.
Feeling good?
Yeah. We'll keep it updated as we move along. Also, we'll have comment/commenter of the week starting next week or on some of the vlogs. People seem to like the open, and the comments can also be negative. If they make us laugh and it's a good comment.
Yeah.
Most likely we will
put it on. Commenter of the week, and then we'll tell some stories next time too.
Story time when Jenna gets back.
That's it. All right. That's going to do it for Jenna and for Dan Fates. I'm Mike Catalano. Thanks for watching. Please make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time here on Buffalo Plus.
Buffalo Plus, your interactive look at the week in football, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.